Blog Talk Radio.
I'm here. Oh, it's a week six holiday, baby. It's the Fantasy Football Insiders radio show, and you know how we do it. We're going live right now, commercial free, 8 to 10, each and every week right here on the Fantasy Sports Channel. On Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by the NFL Draft Bible, All Access Football, October 16th, 2011, fellas. And, whew, man, let me tell you something. If you're not doing it, we're going to do it right now. We got stud duds and sleepers for each and every matchup of the NFL Week 6 holiday. I'm your host, R.I.C., in the place to be. We got the stars of the show coming in a second. First, I want to give a shout-out to all my chat room people. Whew. I know you guys will be waking up around the country sooner or later, but always good to see the usual people in there. If you want to get down on the phone lines, 347-945-6275. I see jerseys in the house already. We'll go over to the hotlines in a second. If you're not familiar with the show, like I said, we review each and every game. Go around the league, stud duds and sleepers for your fantasy football team. And then, of course, we're always taking your questions in the chat, Twitter, at NFL Draft Bible. But like I said, enough of the spiel with me. Let's welcome in the stars of the show. First up, Ross Cardamus, Ross Candel. How are you today, sir?
Oh, doing good, doing good. Getting ready to head out to the new Meadowlands, watch the Giants take on the Bills. I'm ready to rock.
Oh, baby, I'll see you at the tailgate. And, of course, the good Reverend Ralph Mancini, always in the place to be. Rev, week six holiday.
Yeah, all eyes on the Philadelphia Eagles this week. It's put up or shut up time.
Oh, the cream team. We'll be talking about that matchup and all of the NFL matchups in just a second. But you know how we get this party started. It's Jersey in his house. What's up, Jers?
Yo, my brothers from three different mothers, man. We're 5-0 in one, 4-1 in the other. I always like talking to the best on Sunday morning so I can stay the best in my league. You know what I mean?
Love it, love it, love it.
Hey, I got a couple quick questions. Two to start off first in my PPR league. And here's the situation. With V-Jax out, I got to either pick Jordy Nelson or I have to pick Marquise Colston. It is a PPR league. 6 point, you know, for any type of touchdown. I need one of those two. And then my other option, and then my other pick I need in my tight ends, the same thing. Do I take Keller or do I take Owen Daniels? That's my two questions for that league.
Okay. Well, let's see. Jordy Nelson is going up against the Rams.
Right.
Colston is at Tampa Bay, Rev. Which matchup do you like there?
I like Jordy Nelson. I like Jordy Nelson going up against that Rams secondary that's just a mess right now. Marquise Colston, yeah, he can always give you a great game, but they have other options there. And their number one feature option is Jimmy Graham. And then Darren Sproles is another guy that's catching a lot of balls too. I think Jordy Nelson is more of a sure thing this week, where Green Bay should be putting up at least 35 to 38 points this week, I think.
Let me go over to Rostradamus because, you know, the Packers have a lot of weapons, too. You saw James Jones have a big week last week. There's Driver. You know, Ross, you like Jordy Nelson or Colston? This is a tough one because Jordy Nelson has been like a sneaky good fantasy player this year.
Yeah, he has. And as you properly said, each team, you know, these guys aren't going to necessarily be the first choice. You got Sproles and Graham. You got Finley and Jennings. I think I'm going to lean with the Rev here and go with Jordy Nelson. I just think that, quite frankly, the Packers are going to put up many more points to me than the Saints today. I like the Saints today, but I think Green Bay could pretty much name their score. So I'm going to go with
Jersey,
Nelson.
Jersey, I'm going to tell you, I'm outvoted here. I got 2-1 on me, but I'm going to put it like this, okay? St. Louis Rams are my upset special of the week. They're going to win that game, in my opinion.
Oh my God.
Listen, what do I know? But when I have a chance, laugh now, cry later. When I have a chance to play a number one receiver or a number three receiver on a team, to me, Jordy Nelson is a number three receiver on the Packers. Colston is, you know, you could say Jimmy Graham and Darren Sproles all you want. Colston's the number one wideout. I would go Colston. That's just me.
Okay. And you guys like Keller?
Okay, and the tight end situation, I never liked Owen Daniels, never have, never will. I think Dustin Keller's due for a big game. I would just go on my gut feeling, but let me ask Ross what he thinks.
Yeah, the last couple of weeks, I mean, Keller's been invisible. Two catches, one catch, and he has one total fantasy point. And you got Owen Daniels for the Texans, who's really their number one receiving option, Mr. I like number one receiving options with Andre Johnson out. So I don't see how you can go with Keller. You have to go with Daniels here.
Oh, you make a good point, Rev. Are you in agreement with Ross?
The only thing about Houston is I hate Schaub's matchup this week versus the Baltimore Ravens coming off a bye week. I don't like Matt Schaub, and therefore I'm not in love with Owen Daniels. I don't like Keller either. I might lean towards Keller this week, though.
Because you love Sanchez?
No, I don't, but I like the matchup much better versus the Dolphins, though.
Well, it's certainly a better matchup, but, you know, Daniels is the
number
one guy.
Well, it's a game of matchups, you know. A lot of times it comes down to matchups.
I think you guys both make good points, Jersey. I think we're a little divided here again, and I think that, you know, my gut feeling is, you know, I would go with Keller just because he's due for a big game, but that doesn't really make a lot of logic or sense to some people. And
I got Keller in there now.
Yeah, Owen Daniels is too inconsistent for me, you know.
Yeah, and being a PPR, he might throw them. In my last two, I got this quick. In my standard league, I'm already starting Miles Austin, and this is a real close one too, and I think Steve Johnson's due. I'm not sure what Macklin's going to do. I got to pick between Steve Johnson of Buffalo, who probably has a pretty good matchup against the Giants, or Macklin going up against the Redskins. I have that option there. I need to pick one of those two. And then my tight ends, I kind of have Fred Davidson now because the Eagles can't defend against tight ends usually. Kellen Winslow. So they're my two. I need to pick one receiver, which would be Stevie Johnson or Macklin. Then a tight end, I need to pick either Davis or Winslow. What's your guys' professional? That's standard league there. No PPR, the standard league.
Well, there's a reason why you're 5-0 and 4-1, because you have some good rosters, Jersey. And Fred Davis and Kellen Winslow is a toss-up to me, but I would lean towards Winslow. But, you know, I can't really blame you if you go Fred Davis. I think they're both very good options. Do any of you guys have an opinion that way?
I like Fred Davis myself going up against, as Jersey said, a defense that gives up a lot to tight ends. And then when it comes down to Stevie Johnson or Jeremy Macklin, it's very close. Look, the only reason why I might lean towards Macklin is because if you take a look at Michael Vick over the past 2 weeks, he's been putting up the ball over 40 times per game. And so I think that he's going to have to do the same thing today. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored in that game. That's the only reason why I think I'll lean towards Macklin.
Yeah, I would lean toward Macklin as well for reasons I'll get into when we cover the Giant game. It's not that I dislike Johnson. There's been a bit of a sort of a trend going on with Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I just think that the Eagles know they need to have a big day today, and that means counting on their two wideouts and LeSean McCoy. And I think Macklin, you know, when asked, has always answered the question, except for a couple of drop passes, but you don't get penalized for that. But I see an awful lot of points scored in both those games, so I don't think you can go wrong with either one, but I take Macklin.
Okay, I'll definitely do that. And my last thing going forward, what I had to do, guys, in that same league, I got Peyton Hill starting. I got Chris Johnson on a bye. So I picked up Tate off the waiver wire this week as a backup, you know, in case anything happens to Foster. I don't have Foster. But what I did is I dropped Johnson Stewart because he wasn't doing anything. I did pick up Reggie Bush this week because of I have Thomas in my other league, but I've been hearing a situation where Thomas' hamstring could be banged, blah, blah, blah. I'm not sure. I'm thinking Reggie Bush.
Yeah, they Thomas were, isn't playing.
Oh, so you heard he probably isn't.
I heard he was questionable.
Yeah, he's questionable. That's why I was wondering. Because that's why I picked up off the waiver yesterday, Reggie Bush. I figured maybe I could use him for at least one week replacement. But I've been reading also, guys, and I'm wondering your professional opinion. There is a backup to Reggie Bush who may get some carries. I'm not sure. I think he played. It could be a sneaky play. But if Thomas is out, would that guy get more opportunity than Bush? I forget his name.
That's Rev's boy, Lex Hilliard.
Yes, sir, that's correct. I mean, is he a better option to have than Bush? I mean, you know, because again,
honestly, I wouldn't waste my time with either one of those guys. But I mean, Lex Hilliard's a guy who's a bigger back. He's not a big play back. I don't know. Unless you're looking for somebody to fill out your roster, you know, at the end of your bench. I wouldn't mess with Lex Hilliard. And as far as Reggie Bush goes, I mean, look, with Reggie Bush, he actually might get a lot of passes thrown to him this week. So maybe you might want to keep him for this week and see what happens.
I need one week.
All three of the one of those guys.
Yeah, I picked up Reggie Bush myself this week. And you know what? Only because when the Jets and Dolphins play, funny things happen again.
Yes,
you know,
I agree.
Don't listen to my logic, but what do I know? When Ted Ginn Jr. returned two kicks, you know, a couple years ago, like something funny always happens, and Reggie Bush has that big play potential. And it wouldn't surprise me if Reggie Bush, like, busts a big play and beats the Jets today. I don't know. What do I know? That's Monday Night Football anyway.
Because there's no more running backs guys left that are even worth a crap in there.
Yeah.
That's why I got rid of Stewart, because there just wasn't anything.
Hey, Jersey, can I give you some advice?
Yes, sir.
No running backs left. Keep an eye on DeMarco Murray. That's all I have to say. Keep an eye on him.
Okay, because of the possibility of Choice being traded. All right, you guys, you're the man. Sonny, we're thinking alike. Great minds do think alike on Sunday morning, don't we, guys?
We got the moves like Jaggers. We got the moves like Jaggers.
Hey, hey, guess what? I just want to fill in. DelVal again. DelVal College, 7-0, man. They beat Albright 20-10. They're on a roll this year. Junior and the boys on a roll senior year.
Steamrolling, I'm telling you, Jersey football all around. You just steamrolling the competition, undefeated. Love it. Hey man, we're gonna make room on that mantle, and I don't know if you got any fingers left that need some rings over there, but they're coming.
This kid here's got so many trophies, man. Like I said, he finished fifth in the state as a wrestler, you know, and everything over here is disagreed. This kid's got more. We're doing the house. He's like that. I need the hallway to put all my trophies and stuff in there. Stuff down the page.
Hey, we got to get him on one of these weeks. Get him up early.
That's what I'll do. I'll come and call him over. But thanks, guys. I appreciate it very, very much. You guys take care and have a good weekend. Best of luck to you guys and your families. And thanks for the info, guys. I appreciate it. Hopefully next week I'm calling you 6-0 in the other and 5-1 in the other. Appreciate
That's
it and
right,
enjoy
baby.
Your day.
All
thanks,
right,
guys.
Always
Take
good
care.
To
I'm
have
going.
You.
Yep, bye-bye.
Love you, Jersey. All right, we got the Jersey-sponsored portion show segment out of the way. Always, we're the people's champion. So anybody that wants to call in, 347-945-6275, I know you guys have been waiting patiently in the chat room for your questions, and I'm going to take the first one, which is Walkie 33. Always good to see him in the chat room. Hey, listen, I see you got a big list of players. You need a little bit of help. This is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to tell you Peyton Hillis and Darren McFadden are your two running backs. I'm going to tell you that A.J. Green and Mario Manningham are your two receivers. And I'm going to tell you Javid Best is your flex. Okay. You got Graham over Jermichael Finley at tight end, which I can't argue with right now. And I just don't like Ryan Terrain, the whole timeshare situation is starting to bother me a little bit in Washington. I think A.J. Green has a great matchup against the Colts, so you want to play him and not Pierre Garçon because Curtis Painter is a clown. And Greg Little's a rookie, still developing, coming into his own, so I can't really roll a dice on him this early in the season. So I think I covered every player there. Hopefully that works out for you. I'm going to move on to the next one, which is Philly Sports Talker. Uh-oh. Philly in the house. Okay, let's see. We got needs two of these running backs, Rev. He has Arian Foster against Baltimore, and then he has that Washington dilemma we just mentioned. He has Hightower and Terrain.
Well, look, obviously, you know, you're going to start Foster. Now, with Washington, I don't think it's much of a dilemma because Tim Hightower is playing with a bum shoulder this week. And so, you know, that right off the bat tells you that Hightower is not going to get much action today, and I seriously doubt he will. With Ryan Terrain, look, you take a look at that Philadelphia Eagles defense, and every runner that has gone up against that unit has had their best day so far this year. Look, the Philadelphia Eagles are not going to solve their problems overnight. They just give up a lot of yards to running backs, and I think Terrain can have a very, very nice day today. So I go with Terrain and Foster there.
Okay, very interesting. Some good advice from the good Reverend Ralph Mancini right there, boy. And then we're going to go to FrankFranco4 in his house. Chat room, all my chat room people, big shout out. Has Pierre Garçon at the Bengals or Steven Jackson against Green Bay this week for his flex position, Ross?
Well, this comes down to, you know, you go with the running back or the wide receiver. It is a tough matchup, but I still like Steven Jackson today. I mean, he can catch the ball out of the backfield if he doesn't get anything done on the ground, which, you know, everyone but you seems to think they'll be trailing that game pretty big, pretty early. Either way, you know, Jackson's a dual threat, and he does get all, you know, not all, but a severe majority of the touches. So I feel a lot more confident using him today. I think he's a decent play today.
All right, I agree 1,000%. I go with the man who's going to have more touches, and that is Steven Jackson. The other question, second part of that question, Jimmy Graham versus Aaron Hernandez. Listen, I think that's a no-brainer. I mean, at this point, Jimmy Graham, you know, Sean Payton said it, not me. He said Jimmy Graham is a Hall of Fame talent.
All right, let's settle down, Mr. Payton. But the bottom line is, this year, if the question has Jimmy Graham's name in it, he's going to be the answer to the question.
Yeah,
he's the number one tight end this week. He's a must start. I don't care what's going on. Aaron Hernandez, obviously.
Is he the best tight end in the league?
Right now, I don't think there's any question
about
it.
From a fantasy perspective, yeah.
Absolutely.
I think from a fantasy perspective and just in the NFL period, I think he's the best tight end period.
Yeah, he's even better than Gresham, man.
Hey, I told you Gresham was going to be a top five fantasy tight end. He's in the top seven right now, I guarantee you. By the end of the season, go back and listen to that preview.
Well, I don't think he's the most complete tight end, but I think he's the best offensive tight end, the best pass-catching tight end,
good,
to put it that way.
Good point. Yeah, good point. He's still developing in that area. All right, Tidewater JC needs two. Greg Little, Santana Moss, Titus Young, and David Nelson. Must be a deep league. I definitely don't like Greg Little. Titus Young, again, is like a boom or bust. Either he makes a big play or he doesn't. I think the two solid plays here are Santana Moss and David Nelson. Agree or disagree, fellas?
I disagree because Santana Moss has had some poor games versus the Philadelphia Eagles. Then the other option there is David Nelson. With David Nelson, you know, he's going to be playing a new position now. Because Jones got injured last week, and they're going to move him out to the outside. He's not playing in that slot position, which is now occupied by Naaman Roosevelt. So I actually like Greg Little as a sleeper. Look, I wouldn't want to start Greg Little, but, you know, if I was forced to, this is a guy that they want. They want him to be the feature number one guy in that offense as far as receivers go. And then as far as Titus Young goes, look, I can't go with him either. So to me it comes down to between either Titus Young or Santana Moss. I don't know. I mean,
well,
with Moss, but I don't like either guy this week. But I would go with Little, though.
Yeah, I agree, Rev. I agree. I'd go with Little for sure this week. You know, coming off the bye week, he's been named a starter. They're going to move him all around the field. I think he's going to be a guy who, if you don't pick him up now, you're going to regret picking him up a week too late because he's going to be gone. I think this is the week to start him. And look, to me, Moss is just a cut above the rest of the receivers there. I know the Eagles pretty much limited him. He didn't catch a touchdown against them last year. I think he had only, you know, three receptions.
Yeah.
He only had three catches against them last year. But look at the way the Philadelphia defense is playing. I don't see how you can sit anyone against them. You got to go by what you see, and I see them stinking.
Yeah, I like that. All right. Okay, guys, let's see. Fellas, this is the Fantasy Football Insider Show, in case you didn't know. I am Rick Saratella. I'm joined by Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, and it's a must that we must go over to the phone lines right now because we got 707 in California. Hey, what's it about, 5 a.m. over there? Tyler, you're in the house.
Just about, guys, just about, but you guys are worth waking up to now.
There we go.
Quick question. Almost what you guys hit just a minute ago, Nelson or Little? PPR.
PPR, Jordy Nelson or Greg Little, Rev?
Oh, Jordy Nelson. Okay, I thought he meant David.
No, I'm sorry. No, David Nelson, David.
David Nelson,
oh, David,
okay.
Nelson.
Yeah, well, look, this week I might actually go with Little this week just because David Nelson's playing a new position now. He's not in the slot anymore. He's going to be an outside receiver. I don't know how he's going to perform in that role. As far as Greg Little goes, we spoke about this. They want him to be the number one guy, and they're going to make sure he gets the ball. And he's kind of like one of those bigger receivers. He's a converted running back. He's going to catch a lot of those short passes, and he's got the frame to gain a lot of yards after the catch. So, you know, I think Greg Little's got some potential this week.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and agree with Ralph again, but I think it's a lot closer if you're in a PPR league. I think the Giants are going to do their very best to limit the deep ball from Buffalo. They're going to play a lot of nickel and even some dime today because that's the recipe to making Ryan Fitzpatrick have any kind of struggle. So I see a healthy, healthy dose of Fred Jackson today and a bit of a limited opportunity for a guy like Nelson today. So, and I think, as Brett said, I think the Browns are going to get Little involved as much as they possibly can. He's really their one game breaker that they have on the team. I know Cribbs is one, but he just can't seem to connect as a receiver. So I think the Browns are going to do everything they can to get Little more involved in the offense coming off that bye week. So I kind of like him today.
I'm going to have to agree with the fellas. Yeah, I just want to say, because if you look at Greg Little, his role is increased each and every week. If you look at his game log, he has more and more catches each and every week. So I'm starting to tend to believe, like Ross and Ralph said, every week Greg Little's more and more involved, and I think he may actually emerge as the number one wideout there.
Right on. One real quick question. This is going to throw you guys off a little, probably. I'm kind of looking to trade some players. I wanted to know, who would you trade for and who would you get rid of? So basically target players for the season, the rest of the season, and players you want to get rid of. One of them, I'm kind of thinking, is Cedric Benson. I think he's going to go off this week. So, you know, he'll get the 100-plus yards, maybe a touchdown or two, and then maybe look to get rid of him. Who do you guys think that question, you know, if you guys could answer that or maybe think about it next week?
Is this like a salary cap league or it's like a
PPR, it's going to be a PPR format. It's keeper, not a keep league. It's a regular format, PPR, and it's just for the rest of the year. So people that's underperformed right now that you think will pick it back up, and people who are overperforming you want to sell.
Okay. I mean, we do a buy low, sell high segment in the show. I'll let the fellas throw a couple names out there, but I want to say this first. I think what you want to do when you're in a situation like this, you want to examine your roster and see what are the weaknesses. What's your weakest position, and can I upgrade that position? If Cedric Benson's not going to be starting for you, can you trade him for a player that's going to start for you each and every week so that you have the strongest possible starting lineup when it comes to playoff time? So, you know, Cedric Benson, fellas, I'll open it to the floor. I don't know who's some of the players. If you wanted to throw out some names who you might go after, maybe you can buy kind of low, that you can throw in the lineup and help you out over the stretch of the fantasy football season.
Yeah, a guy I'd like right now, and, you know, we've liked them all season, and I think with the performance of Ben Jarvis Green Ellis over the last couple of weeks, his value might be a little lower than it should be. That's Stephen Ridley. I think come the end of the season, he's going to be getting a fair share of tackles. And I agree with you. I would definitely sell Benson. I mean, I don't know when this suspension is coming up, but it's going to come up. But, you know, you might want to grab his replacement, Bernard Scott. But I like Ridley as a guy to buy relatively low right now.
Yeah, Ridley's not a bad play. Ralph, maybe another player, an injury away from making a big fantasy impact?
Well, I mean, I don't have anybody like that, but I would tell you that, you know, I'd look at, like, some guys. You have to take a look at some situations there. Like, for example, I would make a trade right now for, like, a guy like Mark Ingram. You know, they're telling the coach over there, he's saying that, you know, he wants to get Ingram some more touches. He wants to make him a bigger part of the offense. Another guy I would look at, maybe a guy that you can get for a little bit cheaper than you normally would, maybe a guy like Phillip Rivers, you know, a guy that, you know, hasn't really been great so far this season, but a guy who's proven, a guy that you know is going to be healthy, and he's going to put up numbers for you. So I would trade for, like, maybe one of those two guys.
Yeah, if we're talking all players, I love Rivers as a guy to trade for, especially considering the fact that his team's not going to go through a bad weather transition for that many games.
Well,
707, I had to kill your phone line because of the static. Hopefully we helped you out a little bit, but if you're going to trade for Phillip Rivers, you're probably going to have to package Benson with whoever your backup quarterback is. But, you know, I wouldn't even rule out, like, trading a Cedric Benson for a Jimmy Graham if you have, like, a no tight end and Benson's just going to sit on your bench. It's all about strengthening your team so you have the best possible starting lineup for the playoffs. The way I see it is get me in the playoffs, and then once I'm in, baby, whew, it's murder. All right. Woo!
And all access football exclusive.
Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show. Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini going around the league right now. We're going to kick off our game preview matchups. We're going to come back over to the chat room questions in a second. We are the People's Champion, 347-945-6275. If you want to get in on phone lines, coming right back over to our chat room, peeps, but we do have to start our game previews. For those who don't know, stud, duds, and sleepers for each and every game. We're going to kick it off with the Who Cares game of the week, Ralph, and that's the defeated Indianapolis Colts going into Cincinnati, who surprisingly have 3 wins on the season.
Yeah, look, the stud here, we talked about him before, and that's Cedric Benson. A lot of Bernard Scott owners were hoping that said Benson would have been suspended by now with Indy on the schedule, but Benson won't be going anywhere this Sunday. The Colts have been abused on back-to-back weeks by LeGarrette Blount and Jackie Battle, out of all people. Cincy's O-line is good enough to wipe out the second-level defenders like Pat Angerer and Cavell Connor at linebacker. Plus, Benson is also going to benefit from having an underrated defense that should be able to keep the Colts under wraps, which will translate into plenty of carries for the unexciting but effective former Texas Longhorn. Another thing to look at here, Drake Nevis is out for the Indianapolis Colts at defensive tackle. So that is certainly some good news for Cedric Benson. The dud here is Dallas Clark. I mean, he's a dud until further notice. Clark has been asked to block more this year, and he may be doing even more than that this week with Joseph Addai out of the lineup. The veteran tight end only has 4 catches in 2 games with Curtis Painter at the helm. You know, the other dud here is Pierre Garçon. You know, the Bengals' bracketing style prevents wide receivers from getting deep, and I could see Pierre Garçon maybe having one of those games where he catches 3 or 4 balls for 45 yards. The sleeper here, I like a couple of guys. I'm going to start with DeLon Carter. You know, the Bengals are actually pretty tough versus the run with the likes of Geno Atkins patrolling the middle at defensive tackle. But with Joseph Addai out, Carter is the guy who will be getting the lion's share of the carries, not to mention the goal line touches. I think he's looked a little bit better than Donald Brown. And to me, a lot of people now, they're comparing DeLon Carter to a guy like Mike Tolbert. So if he could be that type of back, I think he'll be pretty valuable. Andy Dalton is another sleeper this week. He's a popular bye-week fill-in quarterback. Dalton has been up and down, but he does have the luxury of playing alongside playmakers such as A.J. Green and Jermaine Gresham, who make Dalton look better than he is. I do like Cincinnati in this game. I'm going to go Bengals 31, Indianapolis 14.
Yeah, and, you know, how about them Bengals? I mean, they're going to be 4-2 if they win this game. And I don't know. I mean, you know, before the season started, Vegas had them at like 5.5 over-under wins, and they're going to be 4-2 after 6 weeks. A little bit of surprise there in the AFC North, I have to say. And, boy, those Colts, are they going to win a game this year? That remains to be seen. They might just suck for luck and call it a season. All right, second game, I promise you we're coming back to the chat room. Let's get in Jacksonville 1-4, Ross, going into Pittsburgh, who's 3-2 and coming off a big-time win last week.
Yeah, they are. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger, 5 touchdown passes. Who saw that coming last week? Definitely not me. Look, and he did it against what was one of the top-ranked defenses in the league. Roethlisberger is a use this week. He's healthier now, and I know Jacksonville's pass defense is surprisingly actually decent. They're not going to shut down the deep passing game, so you can expect a top 10 day from Big Ben Roethlisberger. And I think the main beneficiary of that is fellow stud Mike Wallace. He was limited for much of last week, but if you look at the end of the game, he wound up with 84 yards and a touchdown. Not bad at all. He's too good to do anything less than that this week. For Jacksonville, the only guy to use, of course, Maurice Jones-Drew. He's going against a Pittsburgh defense that's surprisingly soft, giving up 4.6 yards per carry against the run, and they're in the middle of the pack, ranked 16th versus the run overall. Jones-Drew, lots of carries, lots of yards, few receptions this week. He's definitely usable. The dud in this game, Jacksonville receiver Mike Thomas. Look, I like the guy. I think he's a talent. He gets targets, but they're not going to be downfield targets. They simply don't throw the ball down the field. He had four catches. He's going to have like four catches for 50 yards, something like that, with a rookie quarterback who's struggling a bit, going against the league's top pass defense in Pittsburgh. There are better options out there on a bye week. Guys like Lance Moore, even a Mike Sims Walker, or Darius Hayward Bay, better option than Thomas. And I'm not going to give him a full-out dud rating, but I am going to tell you all to beware. Rashard Mendenhall, guys, he's looked sluggish. They got a shaky offensive line, and he's coming back from a slight injury. If Pittsburgh gets up in this game, and I think they will, there's no reason for them to overwork him with that nagging injury. I'm fine with starting him, but don't expect more than 65, 70 yards against a surprisingly stout Jacksonville run defense. To me, the sleeper this week in this game is Hines Ward. He woke up last week, and you know Jacksonville is going to be constantly protecting against the deep pass with those fleet-footed Pittsburgh receivers, and I can't blame him for that. So there's going to be a lot of room underneath for Hines Ward. That's where he plies his trade. I could see 75, 80 yards and a touchdown for Hines Ward in this game, and I see several touchdowns for Pittsburgh as they win this game 31-13.
Yeah, this is going to be Bubba Sparks, ugly murder, she wrote. That's all I can tell you. I mean, Blaine Gabbert is going to be in for a rude awakening against that Dick LeBeau defense. Hey, Blaine, welcome to the NFL, bro. All right. Nobody likes my humor today, so what we'll do, we'll go back to the phone lines for somebody that does appreciate my humor. What's going on, Jerz?
Yo, my brothers, quick question. I know you guys talked about DeMarcus Ware, and that's what I wanted to ask you. He is available. Here's my situation. In that standard league, I normally go Chris Johnson and I go Hillis. I do have Bush and I do have Tate. I picked up Tate this week just in case Foster down the road is a sneaky play. Now, do I try to take DeMarcus Ware this week, or am I jumping the gun? And if so, who would I drop?
Oh, you mean DeMarco Murray or DeMarcus Ware?
DeMarco Murray. My fault, DeMarco Murray. But that depends on if Choice gets traded. You know what I mean? And if Choice
Look, if you're going to trade a valuable guy for him, I wouldn't do it. I just said keep an eye on him. That's all.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
I mean, I wouldn't drop a guy like Tate for him if you have Arian Foster. I certainly wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I don't.
Right.
I don't
well,
have Arian. I don't have Foster. I'm just trying to, because you never know what Chris Johnson is going to do. Sometimes you never know what Hillis is going to do. So you kind of want a little bit of depth on your bench. Where if somebody does get hurt, like a Foster, you know, Tate's like a machine. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Reggie Bush is just my week play this week until Johnson comes back.
Right. Well, what you can do is, you know, Murray is more of a long term type upside, so you can keep Bush for this week.
Right.
Probably then drop him and pick up DeMarco Murray. The reason why the ref says to keep an eye on him is because Tashard Choice has kind of been in the doghouse since last season. They asked him to play special teams, and he basically told them to go shove it. So, you know, when you're a third string running back and you refuse to play special teams, I mean, Dallas realizes the kid is a talent. They don't want to just cut him. They want to try and get something for him. But, you know, he's not really on good footing in Dallas right now. So, you know, I think DeMarco Murray might have already passed him on the depth chart, but it's just, you know, a situation worth monitoring.
Okay, I'll definitely do it. Again, I didn't want to jump the gun, but I went on my leg to see if he was available, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm still missing, like, that third back that I can count on. This is my other place because Hillis was on bye already. Johnson's on bye this week. That I could plug in, because Stewart I thought would be good. He hasn't done anything in a couple of years, so I dropped him for Bush, figuring, okay, Bush could be a sweet one-week play like you guys said. I just need to get through this week here because then I'll have my two normal starters every week unless one gets hurt. So I was just looking for depth. Again, that's why in that league I'm five. I'm actually 4-1. Hopefully I go 5-1. I look to try to pick up guys. I could kick myself, guys. 8:00 on Thursday night, I missed Ernest Graham. I should have gotten him earlier. I had Ernest Graham. I would have been sitting smart, but you know something? Hey, some you snooze, you lose, guys. That's the old thing. But I appreciate the DeMarcus lead on there. keep an eye on him. I won't tweak anything until next week. I'll get through this week, and then we'll chat next week. But thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Sort of bother. Thanks for the info again.
Hey, you're never bothering us. Done deal, Jersey. Sounds good to me, baby. We are, let's see, 30 minutes into this commercial-free show. 2 hours commercial-free. That's how we do it.
And all access is all-inclusive.
And you know this, man, Fantasy Football Insiders, Rick Saratella, Ross Adonis, Reverend Ralph, going around the league, Mystery Intrigue. We got two games in the bucket. We'll come back to the games, but there's some chat room chatter going on. So Big Tex in the chat room who's recovering, you know, I want to be mingling with the 20-year-old girly girls when I'm in my 40s, too, on Saturday night. So I got to give a big shout-out to Big Tex. And he's got a little bit of a dilemma. Eli or Matt Ryan? What do you say, Ross?
I say I like Eli Manning today. I think we're going to see the good Eli. Look, the Bills pick the ball off a lot, but they have no pass rush. To me, that's the key to this game today. If you don't rush Manning, those guys are going to get open, and they're going to get open deep against that secondary. I like Matt Ryan a little bit, but I like Eli a lot today. I wouldn't be surprised if he went 300 yards and 3 touchdowns today.
Okay, and Rev, you know, the second part to his question, he was offered a trade, Steve Smith to Carolina for Matt Ryan. He has Eli Manning and Tim Tebow. What do you think of that trade offer?
Make it.
He's getting Steve Smith?
Correct.
Well, hey, you know, I mean, if you're well stocked at the quarterback position and you need some more firepower at receiver, then I think it's a fair trade.
Well, so do you feel comfortable starting Eli or Tebow the rest of the way?
Well, I felt like Matt Ryan is playing like a superstar this year, you know.
Well, Rick, to me, the schedule is key because you're going to sit Eli next week in his bye week, and it's going to be Tebow's debut in Miami. That's as good as it's going to get for Tebow. I think you definitely make that trade.
Okay. I mean, I can see it.
Depending on, of course, if you have – Calvin Johnson and Mike Wallace, you might want to reconsider it. But, you know, a lot of people could use a receiver like Steve Smith, but it depends on who else you have on your roster.
Yeah, I think I might pull the trigger and just roll the dice. I think it's a little bit of a gamble, but I think it's a gamble that can pay big dividends if it pays off. Flex position, Ross, James Starks, Antonio Brown, David Nelson, non-PPR, but return yardage is included, which makes Antonio Brown a little bit more valuable than he regularly is. But Starks, Antonio Brown, David Nelson, who do you like?
Antonio Brown could only get one return all day. I'm going to go with James Starks here. I just think he's going to get the ball more, and I think he could probably go over 100 total yards today, and I think he'll score. And I can't say with any degree of certainty about those other guys.
Yeah, I think you got to go with the touches here, and James Starks is going to touch the ball more than any of those guys. So I agree with Ross on that one. PC Keen, longtime chat room listener. Rev, he wants to know he needs two of these players, okay? Definitely a deep league. I'm going to rattle off the names. You tell me which two guys you're going to go with. Greg Little, Denarius Moore, Naaman Roosevelt, Titus Young, Austin Colley. I'll say it one more time. Little, Denarius Moore, Roosevelt, Titus Young, Austin Colley. Give me two.
Look, I'll definitely go with Little, and I talked about him before. He's an emerging guy, and they're coming off a bye week. I think they're going to look to get the ball in his hands this week. As far as the other guys are concerned, Colley is not a guy that they're using much this year. He's a total dud most weeks. Naaman Roosevelt, he could get some looks as being the slot guy, but he's not an overly quick guy. Denarius Moore is a great athlete, but he's very boom or bust. You know, this week, if I have to roll the dice, I might go with Titus Young, you know, just because I love the offense that he plays in. Who knows? I mean, it's not like Nate Burleson is doing anything in that offense. And, you know, Calvin Johnson always gets, you know, most of the attention, and who knows if they're going to stop him, probably not. But, you know, I think that Titus Young will get some scraps in that offense this week. I'll go with Little and Young.
Yeah, I definitely like Titus Young's upside because I believe, and we'll talk about that game later, you know, some people would say it's the game of the week, believe it or not, but I think
Detroit is going to be looking to make a statement game at home, 5-0 against the 4-1 49ers. I could see Titus Young getting loose now for like a 76-yard touchdown. Sometimes you got to play hunches, and when you're in a deep league like that and you're debating, you know, between guys of those tier 4, tier 5 quality wide receivers, you got to go with the guy that has the upside. And like the Rev said, in that offense, I mean, there's not a hotter quarterback than Matthew Stafford right now. So I definitely go Little, and I like the logic on Titus Young. Standard League, Ross, needs one of these guys. Tell me which one you're going to go with. He's got Michael Crabtree, Reggie Wayne, Julio Jones, Mario Manningham, Kevin Walter needs one. Crabtree, Wayne, Jones, Super Mario, or Kevin Walter. Which one guy is going to take it to the house?
Yeah, I like Mario Manningham today a little more than Reggie Wayne. You know, everyone's talking Victor Cruz because of the circus catches and the yards he's racked up. But don't forget about Super Mario here. I think the Giants have a lot of potential to score some points through the air today. I think Manningham will be the beneficiary or one of the beneficiaries of that. I could see, you know, 75, 80 yards and a touchdown with no problem today. I think there's enough to spread around to all three of those receivers. So, you know, I just don't trust Reggie Wayne. And, you know, I haven't said that in a long time, but I think that's the max of what Wayne could do, you know, 70 yards and a touchdown today. But I think Manningham could exceed that. But I think it's safe to play Manningham today. I think he gets a lot of targets and, you know, 4, 5, 6 catches today.
I think it's between Manningham and Julio Jones here, Rev. And who do you like?
Well, Julio Jones is out this week, so that makes Manningham the guy.
Okay. Huh. Game over then. All right, let's go over to the chat room. Big Tech's in the house again. David Nelson or Antonio Brown this week, Rev?
Who is it? David Nelson or Antonio Brown? Well, you know, it's hard to go with Antonio Brown. He only had 4 targets last week. And Nelson's playing that new position. I might go with Nelson. I think I'll go with Nelson this week just because he is such a big target at 6'5". But it's close.
That is a close one. You have an opinion there, Ross Nelson, David Nelson, or Antonio Brown?
Kind of tough. You know, both teams, you know, pass potential here. I just like where Nelson stands in the pecking order more than I do Brown on a week-to-week basis. You never know. He could be the 4th choice or he could be the 2nd choice. But I don't know. I like Nelson. He's definitely number 2 choice there for Buffalo, and Giants secondary not exactly lighting it up. I see him making a lot of work. Regardless of where he's playing, I think Johnson draws a lot of attention away in a points per reception league. I think I'd go with Nelson for sure.
All right, Sealy 4 in the chat has Brandon Marshall against Revis Island. He has Santana Moss, who's going up against Namdi and Asante Samuel over there. And he has Percy Harvin with some banged-up ribs going up against the Bears. He needs to start 2 of these guys. I think it's safe to say we put Santana Moss on the bench, yes?
No way. You can put Percy Harvin on the bench for my money, man. This guy's done nothing.
I think Harvin's got a good matchup this week, though.
How many weeks are you going to say he has a good matchup, guys?
I know this week he does, though, because the Chicago Bears have totally given that secondary a complete overhaul. They're going with 2 safeties that have never started before this week.
Rev, how good is Arizona's pass defense? And what did he do last week? 1 catch, 11 yards.
Well, you know, look, you can't help the fact that he's playing with Donovan McNabb. When you play with a bad quarterback, that's what happens.
Yeah, and he's still playing with them last time I checked.
Yeah, well.
I can't stand Percy Harvin this week. We'll get to that later when I bash him in the dud segment.
All right, guys. Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show, Rick Serratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini right here on Blog Talk Radio. On the Fantasy Sports Channel, each and every week, every Sunday, we are going around the league, 8 to 10 a.m., and I think we have a caller from the ATL. Is that Hotlanta on the line?
Yes, sir, how are you guys doing this morning?
Very well, yourself.
All right, 678, what's on your mind today?
Oh, that's right. got a couple of them. First one's pretty easy, I think. I can start two tight ends. I'm starting Pettigrew and Aaron Hernandez with Greg Little and benching Marshall and Percy Harvin. I think that's a pretty easy one, right?
Okay, so you're playing Greg Little over Brandon Marshall and Percy Harvin. Listen, I don't know if I would do that, but Rev, you've been tooting that Greg Little train all morning long. Would you play him over Brandon Marshall and Percy Harvin this week?
Look, as I said, you know, Greg Little is not a guy I would want to start this week, but if I had a gun to my head and I didn't have any better options, then, yeah, I would start Greg Little. And Brandon Marshall's got a bad matchup. He's going up against Darrell Revis, and I don't know if he's mentally prepared for this matchup. He already said that he's looking to get thrown out of the game. You know, when a guy talks like that, I just don't want him on my team. I don't know what I'm going to get out of him.
I don't have a problem with you making that move, man. I mean, look, Marshall's only going to play half the game, right, because he's going to get kicked out. And I don't like Harvin at all. I like Little's upside. I think Oakland can be had on the pass. And I just think the Dolphins are going to get swamped. I think this is Sperano's last game. I think they're going to fall apart.
And if I remember correctly, yeah, I think Marshall had like 3 combined catches in the 2 games against the Jets last year, something crazy like that against Revis.
Yeah, pretty much.
I like the move. I think you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, I do too. And I'm waiting on Sage to be quarterback because he's pretty aggressive. As soon as he's quarterback, he's gonna throw to Marshall in double coverage. I'm pretty sure of that. So that's what
I think it's gonna be Matt Moore there. Matt Moore, I think, is gonna be the quarterback coming
for now.
Off the bye week.
Yeah, but for now he is. Yeah, he stinks. Yeah, for now he is. Yeah.
Yes, you're right.
He stinks about as bad as DeMarco Murray, talking earlier about him. Anyway, my last. This is pretty hard. I got I got Thomas starting right now, Daniel Thomas, and I feel that I roll the dice with Ridley.
I would roll the dice with Ridley myself just because I know he's going to play. I know Ridley, I got burned by him last week because of what he did 2 weeks ago. I threw him in as my flex last week. He got me like 1 point. But the fact that Daniel Thomas is questionable, and I'm hearing he might not play at all, I'll open it up to the floor. Daniel Thomas or Steven Ridley here, I lean towards Ridley myself. What do you fellas think?
Yeah, you're running the risk there because Thomas is playing Monday night. So if you hear he's not going to play Monday morning, you really don't have many other options other than maybe dropping someone and picking up a Lex Hilliard or if Reggie Bush is around. But I'll tell you, if Thomas is good to go, I definitely play him. I don't like what I saw from Ridley last week, but that doesn't mean I don't like him long term. But this week, I don't see how they avoid giving Ben Jarvis Green Ellis all the touches. He played so well last week that I think he's earned the vast majority of the touches there. So I think you pay attention. If Thomas is not out and you find out today that he's doing better and that he is expected to play, I would go with Thomas.
Right, I like Thompson, and he's practiced every single day for the last week.
Yeah,
so
I'm not scared of the Jets.
No, exactly, but, I mean, my only concern was, if I got to turn in my lineup, but, I can't change lineup after 1 o'clock today, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a done deal, and also, Ben Jarvis doesn't have turf toe then, right?
I think he's fine, man. He looked pretty
fine.
Yeah,
he did practice on Friday, so
yeah, he's
I think
right.
He should be okay.
So, Rev, okay. you like Daniel Thomas over Ridley, Rev?
No, I don't like Daniel Thomas this week, even if he is healthy. I think the Jets' defense is going to come to play.
Yeah, I don't think – I got to be honest, man. I don't think Daniel Thomas is going to do anything, even if he plays. I know Ridley is probably not going to get that many touches. I mean, I might even explore the waiver wire and then see who might be available. I don't like either – I don't love either one. I just don't think Daniel Thomas is going to do much. But then again, Ridley didn't get many carries last week. So, you know, explore the waiver wire, but I'm not really feeling good about either one. You know what I mean?
I'm telling you right now, with Woodhead maybe back in the mix, Ridley could put a zero up.
Yeah. Okay. I got Jonathan Stewart in the waiver wire, but I don't really think that's any good either. So.
You got who?
Who was that?
Jay Stew in the waiver wire, but. Yeah, I guess Atlanta.
Well, if you want a guarantee of a few points, I think it's Stewart be the way to go. You know, he's not going to get you more than 5 or 6 points, but that might be 5 or 6 more than the other two.
Yeah, you might be right.
Yeah. All right, you guys been all right, man. I appreciate it, man. Y'all take care.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Hey, listen, Atlanta. Hey, no, we appreciate the phone call and good luck. But if you want to call back in and check out the waiver wire, see who's available, you know, I just don't feel good about Thomas or Ridley this week. But let's keep it moving, fellas. I'm going to come back to the chat room in a second. Let's break down the NFC East matchup where the records are kind of reversed of what we might think coming into this game before the season started. You got the Philadelphia Cream Team, 1-4, coming into Washington, Rev, 3-1, looking to take control of that NFC East.
Yeah, I think the stud in this game is Ryan Terrain. Terrain is the type of downhill plow horse with the vision and quick feet that best fits Mike Shanahan's zone blocking scheme. The other change of pace specialist, Roy Helu, I'm not crazy about him. I don't think he's half the runner Terrain is. But the problem with the Terrain is that he's made out of glass. He's very fragile. You know, look, I think while he's healthy, you start him versus a Philadelphia defense that even made Cadillac Williams look like a star in week one. And as far as Tim Hightower goes, for those who are worried about him and his production, Hightower is dealing with a bum shoulder, so I don't think he's going to get nearly as many carries as Terrain is. The dud here, and we talked about him before, Santana Moss. Moss traditionally has been a non-factor versus the Eagles in 2 games last year. He was shut out the first time and then held to 28 yards on 3 catches in the second meeting. Also consider the fact that Philly has been able to neutralize number one receivers, kind of like guys like Stevie Johnson and Hakeem Nicks and Roddy White. All of those guys were kept under wraps in the early going. The sleeper here is Fred Davis. The Eagles have been burned by guys like Vernon Davis and Tony Gonzalez. And from a talent standpoint, I think Davis takes a back seat to neither of those guys. Philly really lacks the safeties and the linebackers to put the clamps on athletic tight ends. And this will be an issue all year. And plus, you know, with some good hard running by Terrain, I think it should set up some good play action opportunities for the former Trojan Fred Davis. Another sleeper here is Jason Avant. Michael Vick has been putting the ball up in the air over 40 times in back-to-back games, and Avant has been very involved. He's Vick's main check-down guy in the slot. He's been targeted 18 times over the past 2 weeks. Look, he's not someone that you want to trust every week, but he can help you in the bye week. And as I said before at the top of the show, this is put-up or shut-up time for Philadelphia. They have to treat this like a playoff game. But I do think Washington's going to give them a fight here. I think it's going to be a field goal game. I'll go with the Eagles 30, Washington 27.
I got Washington winning this game and putting a big fat fork in Philadelphia's season this week. I think Philadelphia is done. Ross, you care to give a prediction?
Yeah, I like the Eagles by a field goal. I think it's going to be lower scoring, though. I have a 2017 Philly.
Okay. We shall see what the Eagles can do and if the Cream Team can make a dream team. Okay. Next up is my upset special of the week. I don't mean to spoil your outcome of the game, Ross, but St. Louis has got to win a game sometime here. They're 0-4. They're on the road into a tough place to play, which is the undefeated 5-0 defending champion Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field.
Yeah, they can win their game against Seattle. They're not winning it here. You know, bring out all your Packers, fellas, because Rodgers, Jennings, Finley, and you can add James Starks to the stud list this week. The Rams are dead last defensively against the run. They give up almost 180 yards per game and 5.3 yards a carry, which is astounding to me. Starks can have carries in the mid-teens, but between that and a few receptions and an inevitable touchdown, I think he's a solid number two play this week. We mentioned him earlier. I like Jordy Nelson here as well. You know, there aren't many Packers I don't like here. You know, the Rams' corners are just unimpressive, and you know Rodgers isn't afraid to spread the wealth. I think you can look for Nelson to catch about 5-6 passes, maybe 65, 70 yards and a touchdown. Got to love the Green Bay defense against Sam Bradford and the league's worst offense. These guys can't get anything done. Once Green Bay gets up, they're going to be able to tee off. Bradford looks a little shell-shocked in his sophomore season. But for the Rams, look, I think the only way you can go here is Steven Jackson. I don't see him scoring a lot of fantasy football points on the ground. Packers are giving up just 75 yards a game. They're going to be passing a lot, but I think he will make his owners happy with yards via the reception. So don't hesitate to plug him into your lineup today. The dud is the aforementioned Bradford. Even on a bye week, he's just not a good play at all. He's completing fewer than 50% of his passes. His yards per attempt is a paltry 5.6. He's been sacked 18 times. He's got 4 fumbles. Life is not easy if you're Sam Bradford right now, and it's not going to get any better against this defense on the road. No way. Sleeper here, the only Packer really that I haven't mentioned, that's James Jones. Look, on a bye week, coming off a terrific week 5 against the Falcons, he had 140 yards and a touchdown. Jones is a pretty good roll of the dice today. I really don't think he can be faulted for starting anybody on Green Bay today. They're going to score early, they're going to score in the middle, and they're going to score late. Green Bay 41, St. Louis 13, and Rick, I will book any wager you care to place.
Well, last time I checked, Vegas had a plus 600 money line. So,
hey, put it
I'm
down.
I'm telling you right now. Okay, this is a fantasy football show, but I have been to Las Vegas once or twice, and you know, if you're up this week, you know, end of the week, got a little something to play around with. That money line's looking nice to me. I don't know, plus 600. I like the Rams to win this game. Call me crazy, but I told you Tony Romo stinks. And I was right about that. And so, hey, what do I know? Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show. Having a little bit of fun with the roster, Dominus and the Reverend Ralph. All right, seeing the place to be. Going around the league. Of course, we've got your chat room questions going on. And if you want to get in on the phone lines, 347-945-6275. As a matter of fact, we're going to go over there right now because there's some people holding on. First up, 313 on the line. What's on your mind?
Morning, fellas. Morning, fellas.
What's happening?
Good morning. Hey, Raider Nation.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of agree with the sentiment that the Rams may pull that one out also. I don't know why.
Oh, okay. I got somebody who knows what they're talking about. Thank you, 313.
They're still in there. Bradford is going to throw for 3 of them.
All right. Hey, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Well, at any rate, fellas, real quick, I've been thinking about this for the last 48 hours. Matt Schaub is my starting quarterback. I have a very strong team, but I just have this feeling that he is going to lay an egg against Baltimore. And so I went and got Colt McCoy, and I'm leaning towards putting him in the starting lineup. I'm almost there.
I definitely agree. You know, and we were just talking about the Vegas lines. That's a game that opened up. Baltimore was about a 3.5-point favorite in the beginning of the week. It's actually now they are a touchdown favorite. And when a line jumps like that, it usually results in a blowout. So I am in complete agreement that Schaub could be in for a long, ugly day. Now, the question is Colt McCoy worth starting? I guess if he's the best option available on your waiver wire, you have to consider him. And, Russ, I know you're going to preview that game later on. Cleveland traveling into the black hole. Do you like McCoy more than Schaub?
This week, yes, I do. I don't like the Texans at all this week. And I think the Browns-Raiders game, you know, going to be a nip-and-tuck game. And I think McCoy will be able to get some work done coming off the bye week. So I'm in approval of that move that you got going on there, Raider Nation.
You know, this is where you earn your money. I mean, these are the calls that can make or break your season because every win is crucial. So,
yeah.
You know, this could be the difference of winning your fantasy football matchup this week. And the question is, you got to have cahoons. So, Rev, you going to go McCoy over Schaub?
Yeah, I don't like Schaub at all this week. I don't like him against that defense. And with McCoy, look, he's not a superstar, but he's going to get you about – 200 yards, over 200 yards. He'll get you one or two touchdowns, and he's not going to destroy you. So I'll go with McCoy.
And I wouldn't be surprised if the Browns beat the Raiders this week. So I'm in agreement all the way around. McCoy over Schaub, just do it.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Browns pull this one out also. It's going to be two or three upsets this week, and so somebody's got to lose, right?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. Okay, gentlemen, I appreciate it. I'm going to pull the trigger on the McCoy.
Do it. I'll be paying attention to that game.
Okay, I'll let you know what happens next week.
All right, cool. 313 in the place to be. Always good to have them. A regular on the show. If you want to get in, 347-945-6275. I'm going to keep it on the phone lines and go over to 856 on the line. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Hey, good. Hey.
Pretty good.
All right. Good. I got three questions for you guys this morning, man. We'll start off on the tight end in a PPR league. I got Tony Gonzalez and Aaron Hernandez.
Gonzalez or Hernandez, who came back from an injury last week and looked pretty good there, Rev. Gonzalez is probably the safer play. Hernandez has a little bit more upside. Who do you like?
Yeah, man, tough one. You know, I know that Hernandez just recently came back from an injury, but he did look good last week. And in that game, they're just going to be putting the ball up in the air all game long, all day long. I think there will be a lot of points being scored in that Dallas Patriot game. I think I just might go with Hernandez because, look, even though he's a tight end, he's like in the pecking order. I mean, like after Welker and Gronkowski, I mean, Hernandez is the third guy there. He's the third target there. So as far as Atlanta goes, I think they're going to be running the ball a lot this week. So I think I'll just go with Hernandez over Gonzalez.
I agree with you, Rev. Well, Hernandez had more targets than anyone on New England last week. He's definitely the one to use here in my mind.
All right, sounds good. Second question. I have to sit one of these guys. I have Arian Foster, Frank Gore, or Steven Jackson.
Gore, or Jackson. Who are you putting on the bench, Ross?
I think I got to put Steven Jackson on the bench, given that choice and given what I saw out of Frank Gore last week. He looked pretty good to me. I think the other two guys are pretty certain to go over 100 total yards, and I don't know that Jackson is, so I'd leave Jackson on the bench. I don't know. Honestly, Rick's opinion aside, I don't know how many points the Rams are going to score this week.
Hey, listen, I like the Rams to win the game, but I just don't think Jackson is a better play this week than Foster or Gore. You got to ride the hot hands, in my opinion, and right now, you know, that is Foster and Gore. So, I mean, I think the Rams are going to win. I think Steven Jackson might even have a touchdown, but I would play Foster and Gore over S-Jax right now this week.
All right. That's the same way I was leaning. And my final question, man, quarterbacks. I have Romo and Stafford today. And I've been rolling with Stafford all year long.
That's a no-brainer. I mean, that's not even a question. Stafford all the way in my books, guys.
Yeah. I think it's a tough call.
I think
unlike the Jets, the Cowboys realize you got to throw the ball all day long against New England. That's where they're vulnerable. And while Romo might throw an interception or two, I think he's definitely going to have a pretty solid outing. I'd be shocked if he didn't throw for over 300 yards today.
I'd be shocked if Tony Romo finishes the game because I think he's going to get benched. I think New England's going to win by 30 points. And I think Detroit is going to be looking to make a big statement at home, undefeated against a 4-1 49ers team. I mean, these are two of the hottest teams in football. And I think Detroit is going to smoke them, and I think New England's going to smoke them. And I think if you bench Matthew Stafford for Tony Romo, I think you might be crazy. I'll let the Reverend have the final word.
Look, I like both guys this week, but I can't bench Stafford the way he's playing right now, the way that offense is playing with all the weapons that he has. When you're playing with Calvin Johnson, who's like a guarantee, he's a guarantee to get you two touchdowns every week. I can't sit Matt Stafford. So as good as Tony Romo might be this week, I'm going to go with Stafford.
All right, so we're looking at Stafford, Hernandez, and Benson, Steven Jackson.
I think you'd be
benching
okay
Steven
doing that.
Jackson, correct. Yeah.
All right. I'll let you guys know how we made out next week.
All right, 856, let me know. If you bench Romo, you're going to be in trouble. I'm the biggest Romo hater in the world, but hey, man, he makes me look right. So
guy had 19 fantasy points last start, brother.
Yeah, okay.
facts are facts.
Yeah, facts are facts. I'll tell you a fact of life.
and
go
not
ahead,
the
Tootie.
TV show.
Tell me the facts of life, Tootie. Go ahead.
Tony Romo is not finishing that game against New England.
Okay.
All right. glad to see Taz is holding down the chat room for us. Always a big shout out to Fantasy Taz and all our chat room people. And we'll go back over there in a second. I want to, since we're at the 9 o'clock, we're in the second hour of the show already. We still got to wrap up some 1 o'clock games. Time is flying by, and I'm a little bit excited. You know, when you look at the league schedule this week, there's a lot of games where teams could really put a damper on other teams' playoff hopes, and this is one of them. And I'm talking about Carolina, 1-4, competitive in every game. They could easily be 4-1, but the inexperience costs them late in games. But, you know, like Ross says, Cam Newton always has those backdoor covers. He did it again last week.
Oh, baby!
1-4 Carolina, traveling into Atlanta, who's 2-3, Ralph. And if they drop to 2-4, they're going to have a big, big hole to dig themselves out of.
Yeah, definitely a huge, huge game. The stud here is Michael Turner. The burner has been up and down, but ran well last week, and he has hit pay dirt in his last three games. You know, while guys like Terrell McLean are rapidly improving along the Panther front line, Carolina still ranks 27th versus the run, allowing 4.9 yards per carry to opposing backs. If the bruising wide-body Turner hits 100 yards, I think it would be an ideal time to sell high on him, but for this week, I think Michael Turner does well, and I think you should start him. The dud here is Jonathan Stewart. It's hard to figure out what exactly is going on in Carolina's backfield, but it looks as though the coaching staff is focusing on getting the ball into D'Angelo Williams' hands with greater frequency. The other problem is the Falcons are a top-10 team versus the run. The sleeper here, I got a couple of them. I'm going to start with Harry Douglas. Douglas will be seeing a lot more looks at Julio Jones out of the lineup this week. Yeah, I know Douglas has been quiet lately, and Carolina's cornerbacks, Gamble and Munnerlyn, have been improving. But Douglas, he's got some speed to him. And Atlanta, they can't run the ball 50 times. You know, they're going to run the ball a lot, but they're not going to run the ball in every play. And so Carolina's offense is also going to score. They're going to make this a competitive game, so they're going to need to throw it every once in a while. And, you know, with Roddy White and Tony Gonzalez seeing double coverage, I think Harry Douglas could find some openings there. Brandon LaFell is another sleeper here, the second-year man. Hasn't put up huge stats, but he did have a touchdown call back last week, and he has a nice matchup versus a mediocre Atlanta secondary featuring cornerback Donta Robinson, who seems to be getting worse week by week, and William Moore is banged up, so Brandon LaFell has a chance here. I think it's going to be a very, very close game, nip and tuck. I think Atlanta wins this, but very, very slightly by 1 point. I'll say Falcons 24, Carolina 23.
Yeah, they need this, and it is going to be a competitive game. You know, listen, you got to love what Cam Newton is doing in Carolina. The kid is a difference maker. Say what you want, he's a difference maker. Running through these 1 o'clock games rapidly, Ross, you know, I told you the Seahawks were going to win last week, and I'm going to tell you that Buffalo is not an easy matchup. I mean, you got 2-3-2 teams, two teams from New York. Buffalo at the G-Men, take it away.
Well, you know, I like both quarterbacks here, but to me, it may surprise you, given the Eli bashing I've done lately, that I think Eli has a better game today. I just don't like the fact that Buffalo can't rush the passer. I think Eli, you know, they're going to run the ball, Buffalo, rather, is going to run the ball more than people think. I think that's a great idea when you have Freddie Jackson. He is an absolute monster. Fantasy stud right now every week. 3 20-plus point outings on the season fantasy-wise in the first five games. Using him is a no-brainer. I think it's also going to take some of the pass rush heat off Fitzpatrick. Look, unless the Giants fall behind quickly, and I don't think that's going to happen, Ahmad Bradshaw is going to follow in the rushing footsteps of McFadden and McCoy, have a big day against this very vulnerable Buffalo rush defense that allows 5.5 yards a carry. A little note about the Giants here. I think anyone that's had success in slowing this Buffalo passing attack down has played a lot of nickel and dime coverage today, and that's all fine and well to know, but I just don't know if the Giants have enough players literally on their roster to do something like that. So I think it's safe to play Fitzpatrick today. The dud, both defenses, man, stay away. You know, I know the Giants sack the quarterback and that Buffalo creates a lot of turnovers and points from them, but they also give up tons of points. I just don't like these matchups for the defenses today. I think if you start one of these defenses, you're looking at negative points in all probability today. The sleeper, look, with Hakeem Nicks going nuts and all the highlight reel attention on Victor Cruz, I think Mario Manningham gets a little bit of a lost in the shuffle there, and I think it's a great matchup for him here. I think he can expect, as I said before, 70, 75 yards and a score here in a game that's going to have plenty of points today. I like the Giants to pull this one out, but it wouldn't shock me if Buffalo won. But I got the Giants winning 35-31. And just a note, no Justin Tuck, no Brandon Jacobs for the Giants.
Yeah, you know, the Giants have been decimated with injuries all season long. It seems like every week another big-name player is out, but, you know, they've been finding a way to be in every game just about. I mean, they got 3 wins, 3-2, and a better record than the Jets, which, you know, if you found anybody in New York or New Jersey before the season, I don't think anybody would have said the Giants would have a better record than the Jets, but they do, and they're stealing the back page. What do you think of that, Rex Ryan?
Can't wait.
Hey, guys, go ahead. All right, listen, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show, we got one more 1 o'clock game. We'll go back to the chat room. I said it before, and I'll say it again. People are calling this the game of the week, Ralph. 4-1 49ers, Jim Harbaugh, got to love what he's doing. He's going to be there for a long time, I believe. And Detroit, who is a little bit further in the rebuilding program, undefeated, Rev. They won about 9 games in a row dating back to last season. Got to love what Jim Schwartz is doing there. So you got 2 emerging NFL head coaches with 2 emerging NFL teams, or is San Fran really a fraud?
Well, this is definitely one of the games of the week. And, you know, as far as studs go, I can give you Stafford. I can give you Calvin Johnson. I'm going to give you Brandon Pettigrew. You know, a lot of people kicked this guy to the curb in the preseason. Some are worried about Tony Scheffler. The problem with Scheffler is that he's hurt all the time, and he's hurt this week. He's out with concussion symptoms. You know, the other concern with Pettigrew was that Stafford didn't like throwing the ball to him. That's another fallacy. Pettigrew is an extension of the running game when Jahvid Best can't get it done on the ground. And this week, the 49ers come in with a very, very strong run defense, which makes Pettigrew a viable option over the middle. And the other thing with Pettigrew is he's getting a lot of red zone looks, and the Niners are giving up the 5th most fantasy points to tight ends over the past month. The dud here is Ted Ginn Jr. He's actually starting with Braylon Edwards out with a knee injury and Josh Morgan out for the year. The 49ers' passing game is very limited, and Ginn cannot be trusted. He has poor hands. He's not very physical. And I think San Francisco should be relying on Crabtree and their tight ends. Look, the other guy here, as far as sleepers go, the sleeper that I like here is Delanie Walker. The Niners have been using him a lot, and he could be getting some looks at wide receiver as well. You know, when Walker and Davis are on the field together, it forces defenses to go into nickel packages, and Detroit struggles in those situations, especially with Amari Spivey out with a hamstring ailment. And another sleeper here, a guy that if you are in a bind and you need a bye week quarterback, you can always give Alex Smith a try. Look, he's not a superstar. But, you know, Harbaugh knows, he knows quarterbacks, and he's making them play well. And, you know, every once in a while, Alex Smith is going to hit those tight windows. He's very mobile, and he's not really making a lot of mistakes. So if you need a bye week quarterback, I think Alex Smith, I think he could do the job for 1 week. And I do like Detroit in this game, though. I think it's going to be competitive, but I think the Lions are too good here. I'll go Detroit 27, San Francisco 20.
All right, interesting matchup. I'm curious, Rostradamus, what your prediction, or your crystal ball said when you rubbed it.
Yeah, I think that Detroit is going to be able to make Alex Smith uncomfortable today. He hasn't been made uncomfortable this season. I think they're going to rush him. They're going to rattle him a little bit, and he'll cough it up. I see Detroit winning this game 26-14.
Okay, I think I see Detroit winning this game rather easily, maybe double-digit points. Like I said, I think they're going to be looking to make a statement, and I think they will. I think they're young, fun, and just really don't care right now. And when you're playing that way, beautiful things can happen. Watch this team develop right under your eyes. Okay, Fantasy Football Insiders, RIC, Ross, Ralph, the Triple R Connection. You know, we do it each and every Sunday morning, 8 to 10 right here in the commercial free. Going to go over to the chat room, run through some questions, and then we'll go back to the 4 o'clock game previews. If you're just tuning in, you could always check out the archives. We wrap it up at 10 a.m. That gives you about 3 hours to go back and listen to the show. If you want to catch some of the other game recaps, you can join the party late, whatever the case may be. We got a lot of questions to run through, and we will do that. First one off is a half a point PPR league, Crabtree, Super Mario, and David Nelson. I'm going to tell you Super Mario here. Let's not get cute and funny today. There's another question. This is your boy, Ross. Somebody asked, what is your forecast for Lance Moore long-term? What do you see his role being in that offense, and what kind of fantasy football production can he have? Is he a flex guy? Is he a wide receiver number 4? What do you see for Lance Moore?
Well, you know, with Colston back, with Jimmy Graham being the stud, and with Darren Sproles being so effective in the passing game, it's really a crapshoot as far as is Lance Moore going to get any looks. You know, last week's 3 catches, 30 yards, but, you know, week 3, 9 catches, 88 yards and touchdown, but the difference there, no Colston. So I think with Colston back, Lance Moore is a bye week deep league flex play at best. You just can't rely on him on a weekly basis. I mean, you want a guy you know is going to get looks. And, look, I love the guy. I think he's a great receiver, and he's a great all-around football player, but he's not that useful a fantasy player on a week-to-week basis. But, again, if you have to use him in a bye week, there's so many points scored and so many yards generated by Drew Brees in that offense that you could do worse. It's just it's a crapshoot.
Yeah. All right. PPR, Rev, needs 3 of these guys. I'm going to tell you, Deion Branch and Mike Williams from Tampa Bay are a no-brainer. So he basically needs one of these guys. Lance Moore, who we just discussed, Torrey Smith, Pierre Garçon, or Victor Cruz. Rev, I think you would agree with me that Branch and Mike Williams are definitely 2 guys you want in your starting lineup. But between Lance
yep.
Moore, Torrey Smith, Pierre Garçon, and Victor Cruz, which one do you like with the upside?
Yeah, I'm going with Victor Cruz here. Just because I think Eli Manning is going to have one of those games again where he's going to be throwing over 300 yards. And as far as the other guys go, I mean, Torrey Smith is hit or miss. Lance Moore has got low upside. And Pierre Garçon is going up against a tough defense that really doesn't give up a lot of yards to deep receivers to guys like him. So I want to go with Victor Cruz this week.
I don't see, Rick, based on this season, I don't see why Mike Williams is a no-brainer. I mean, the guy's done nothing all season.
So you would not play him?
I would not play him or anyone else on Tampa Bay until I see what they're trying to do offensively. I think Garçon and Cruz are better plays than Williams this week.
You don't think Tampa Bay will throw it a little bit more with Blount banged up?
I guess they will, but they'll probably throw to Winslow and Graham. I mean, Mike Williams has done absolutely nothing. It's startling how terrible he's been this season.
Well, I don't know if I'm ready.
Well, he's still a number one receiver there. You know what I mean?
Right.
So he's going to get it in order at some point.
Guy's got 19 catches in 5 games and 1 touchdown. Go for it.
Listen, last week I told you there was a question about Big Ben and some other quarterback, and I said, listen, you don't want to get all cute and fancy and let this be the week that you bench Big Ben and he goes off. And what happened? Big Ben had 5 touchdowns last week. He didn't do nothing the first 4 games. So, I mean, I think if you look at the body of work, I mean, at some point, the back of his football card is going to catch up to his production this year. And, you know, to me, Mike Williams is a no-brainer because he's a number one wideout. The starting running back is injured. And you're looking at clowns like Lance Moore,
well,
Pierre
that's
Garçon.
The thing. I don't think this guy has better options. So, I would go with Mike Williams. If I had a better option, I would sit Mike Williams.
I understand
this guy doesn't have them.
Rick, the difference between Roethlisberger and Williams is that Roethlisberger controls what he does. Williams doesn't always control what he does. He's a
all right.
product
so you like,
of what he
so
gets.
You like, so you like Lance Moore and Pierre Garçon better than Mike Williams?
I like Cruz and Garçon.
But he needs three.
I don't know about Garçon this week. I don't like
Garçon
this week. Not
Garçon with Curtis
Painter?
This question's over. I'm Pierre Garçon. I don't speak French. Ross, Mike Vick or Cam Newton this week? A little deceptive question here.
I don't think it is at all. I'm going with Cam Newton, baby. Top five. Vick
what?
Not in the top five.
What?
You heard me.
Newton over Vick. Whoa, Rev. Is Ross out of his mind here?
No, I can't take him over Mike Vick. Mike Vick's been putting the ball up over 40 times each week over the past couple of weeks.
Hey, listen, I'm excited with what Cam Newton's done this year, but I don't know if I can play him over Mike Vick just yet. Vick can go off and have a three passing, two rushing touchdown day on any given week.
I'll take the defense that Newton's playing against Vick's defense.
Okay, interesting. You might be all alone on an island on that one, my friend.
Come on, Cam.
Well, look, I don't like Atlanta's defense either. You know, I do think Cam will have a nice day.
Cam.
But I can't pick him over Vick just yet.
I'm doing it. Yeah. I'm out there.
I'm pretty good.
Russell Thomas pushing the envelope. Okay, PPR needs one. Javid Best, Ryan Terrain, or Peyton Hillis, Rev?
Javid Best, Ryan Terrain, or Hillis. Yeah, you know something?
PPR.
I know. Yeah, I understand. I know. A lot of people, we have a lot of Hillis fans in the chat room. I'm going to go with Ryan Terrain here, just because that Philly defense just can't stop anybody. And until they do, I'm going to keep on picking the running back that goes against the Philadelphia Eagles. When a guy like Cadillac Williams has 91 yards versus the Eagles defense, that tells me that just about anybody could gain yards against that defense. So I'm going to go with Ryan Terrain.
Guys, I think Peyton Hillis is going to have one of those days today against a pretty weak Oakland D.
I agree.
Where he goes, yeah, someone want to say something about my strep throat now? I think he's going to have one of those days today.
I would not hop off the Peyton Hillis train just yet. That's just me.
You still a top five guy, dude?
There's a lot of season left to be.
Say something funny.
Hey, Matt Ryan or Rex Grossman this week? I mean, what do you guys think of that one?
I think it's close, but I'm still going with Ryan against that defense.
Yeah, I'll go Matt Ryan over Sexy Rexy at this point myself. Needs one of these guys, Brandon Marshall, Greg Little, Jacoby Ford, Jacoby Jones, and Michael Crabtree. I think based on previous discussions, I'm sorry, James Jones. I think it comes down to Greg Little or James Jones. Let's throw Crabtree, Ford, and Brandon Marshall out of it. Greg Little or James Jones, Ralph.
I like James Jones playing with Aaron Rodgers, playing against an awful team this week. James Jones. I'm going to go with James Jones. He's got a better chance of scoring.
All right. PPR, Ross, needs three of these guys. So basically he's going to bench two, needs to start three. Cedric Benson, Sean Green, James Starks, Jordy Nelson, Pierre Garçon. Three running backs, two wide receivers. Benson, Green, Starks, Jordy Nelson, and Pierre Garçon. I need three of them.
I think I sit the two receivers, although I might start Nelson and sit Sean Green.
I agree. I think you want to have as many touches as you can here. I'd go all three running backs, even though I'm not a big fan of Sean Green either. But I do think the Jets are going to have to come around. And if they can't, smack around the Dolphins, and they're not going to smack around anybody. So I'll give Sean Green a rare start this week. I'll give him a slight edge over Jordy Nelson. I'm in agreement with the Rostradamus. Needs two of these guys, non-PPR. Mendenhall, Sproles, Ernest Graham, and Steven Jackson. Ralph, this is a tough question. Non-PPR, Mendenhall, Sproles, Ernest Graham, and Steven Jackson. I think Mendenhall is the no-brainer. Who's going to be the other guy? Sproles, Graham, or
Estes? Two guys. Okay. Well, yeah, definitely Mendenhall. And then as far as the other three guys are concerned, man, this is a tough choice. To me,
It comes down to either Sproles or Ernest Graham. Wow. You know, I'll go with Ernest
Roll
Graham.
The dice with Graham? Yeah.
I'll go with
right.
Graham
I
just because I think he's going to see the most touches.
Yeah.
Let's and he catches a lot of passes, too.
I don't get why Mendenhall is a slam dunk. The guy hasn't gotten more than 66 yards rushing. He has two touchdowns this year. He's banged up and Jacksonville.
Well, because
yeah, whatever, man. But the guy's good, man. Look at his past history. You know,
I'm looking at
and look at the steal. Look at the very least. Even if Mendenhall doesn't go off, don't you think he's good for about 60 yards and a touchdown, even in a bad game?
I think that's exactly what he's good for.
When you're talking about Darren Sproles, Ernest Graham, and Steven Jackson, I don't understand. Like, he was injured a couple weeks ago. He's healthier this week. He's a number one running back. And why wouldn't he be a no-brainer?
Because Sproles has outscored him pretty much every week this season.
Well, he needs two guys. So you like Ernest Graham and Steven Jackson better than Mendenhall this week?
I like Sproles and Steven Jackson better than Mendenhall this week.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I don't know. Let's keep it moving, fellas. Ross, this one's for you. They're playing against each other. You're a residential Giants guru. Eli Manning or Ryan Fitzpatrick, who are you taking?
Yeah, I went over that in the preview. I just think the fact that Buffalo can't get to the passer is a huge advantage for Eli Manning today. I like Eli more than Fitzpatrick today.
Okay, Devon Bess, Harry Douglas, Johnny Knox, and Jacoby Ford needs to sit one. I guess it's Johnny Knox here, no?
You said Bess, Douglas, Jacoby Ford, and who's the other guy?
Johnny Knox. Got to sit one. I think it's between Knox and Ford. If I had to sit one, I would sit.
I love Jacoby Ford, but, I mean, what has he done this year? You know, he hasn't done anything yet. I mean, I'm not saying go out and drop Jacoby Ford, but I wouldn't start him.
Yeah.
Maybe you could start Bess and Douglas and check the waiver wire. I'm not in love with Knox or Ford. Ross, since you hate Mendenhall, needs one of these guys. He has Mendenhall, A.J. Green, and Ernest Graham.
Well, I don't hate Mendenhall. I like him more than those two guys.
I don't know. I think A.J. Green has the most upside there. I think that Colts matchup is very enticing. And I don't know. I'd go A.J. Green, but let me ask the Rev. Mendenhall, A.J. Green, Ernest Graham.
Pick one?
Yep.
Mendenhall, A.J. Green, Ernest Graham. Oh, man, I think, I just might go with A.J. Green, man. I mean, this guy's making plays every week.
The guy's
spectacular, man. I mean, come on. This guy's making plays week after week. I don't know how I could sit him.
I could see two touchdowns for A.J. this week. Okay, Rev, another tough one. Needs one of these guys again. James Starks, Javid Best, Daniel Thomas, Felix Jones. I think it's between the first two, Starks and Best. Who do you like needs one?
Yeah, definitely. I like Starks this week. I'll take Starks over Best.
Okay, PPR, Ross, needs two of these wide receivers. They're not very enticing players, but I'll tell you who they are. Reggie Wayne, Mike Williams, Johnny Knox, Robert Meacham, Austin Colley. Again, I think it's the first two here, but Reggie Wayne, Mike Williams, Johnny Knox, Robert Meacham, Austin Colley, which two do you like?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Wayne and Mike Williams here just by default. I don't think the other guy's going to get much of anything done. And, Wayne and Williams, although certainly not living up to expectations, are still the best bets here, I think.
I agree, 1,000%. Needs two, Rev, Ernest Graham, Greg Little, Javid Best. Which one player are you going to sit?
Yeah, I'm going to sit Greg Little. I've said great things about him, but, I mean, I'm always usually take the running backs over the receiver. And Little is just a guy that's got a high upside, hasn't done anything yet. So I'll go with the two running backs.
The running backs are going to touch the ball more there. The thing about dropping Sam Bradford for Tim Tebow, listen, I think you're crazy if you do that. James Starks, Javid Best, Daniel Thomas, you need one. I think it's Starks or Best. Flip a coin. Mendenhall or Ernest Graham, Ross?
Very close, but I think I'm going to go with Ernest Graham. I just think all around he's going to contribute more today. Do I hear crickets?
Okay. Rev, PPR needs two. Javid Best, Sean Green, Cedric Benson, James Starks needs two. Best, Green, Benson, Starks.
Okay, I'm going to go with Cedric Benson and Starks. I think Benson has a great matchup, probably one of the best matchups of the week, going up versus Indianapolis, and Starks as well. I'll go with Benson and Starks.
All right, we've got 30 minutes left in the show. Fantasy Football Insiders, you know how we do it. Going to kick off the 4 o'clock matchups like this. Cleveland Browns traveling into the black hole, Oakland Raiders. They've been giving some teams some trouble over there, Ross, on the West Coast.
Indeed, indeed. This is a running back game, and you can start with run DMC Darren McFadden. Held to 51 yards rushing last week and 68 total yards against the Texans. I don't think the Browns have those horses to make it 2 down weeks in a row for the Raider runner. I love them this week. Opposing teams have reached the 100-yard mark on the ground in all 4 games the Browns have played. Although I have to say Oakland's run defense hasn't exactly lit it up this season against opposing running backs, which is why Peyton Hillis is also a stud in this game. I think Pat Shurmur has said that Hillis is going to get the bulk of the carries, which means at least 20 to me. Can add a few receptions in there. I think you got Hillis scoring and going over 100 total yards today. And the dud, we just talked about him a little bit, is Jacoby Ford. Look, I drafted this guy. I had high hopes for him. But now he's the number 3 guy. He's playing in the slot. He's not getting a lot of looks in a passing offense that produces just 224 yards per game through the air. It's just about opportunities. With that offense, Darius Haywood-Bey, Denarius Moore, McFadden, they're all ahead of him now in the pecking order. I don't think Ford gets enough of the opportunities. And I think he's pretty much one of the bigger disappointments to me in 2011 so far. And the sleeper, although the way we've been talking him up, he's not a sleeper anymore, Greg Little. He's starting. He's going to be moved all over the field. He's very versatile. He had 6 grabs for 57 yards before the bye. And now, to me, he's clearly the receiver with the biggest upside on that team. He's worth a shot on the bye week against an Oakland D that gives up 300 yards a game through the air, and they've already given up 10 passing touchdowns. So I would not be surprised to find Mr. Little doing a little dance in the end zone in this game. However, yeah. I think McFadden is going to be a little too much. I like the Raiders winning this game 27-24.
All right. I actually see it the other way. I think Cleveland is the better football club.
It could happen.
Yeah, I think Cleveland comes in and steals one just because, you know, the Raiders are playing too good at home. I think they're, you know, this is like a letdown game, but, you know, I could be wrong. This game was looking very exciting until Andre Johnson went down with the Texans looking to make waves in the AFC. That Andre Johnson injury could cost them the playoffs once again because they are 3-2, traveling into a Baltimore team that is 3-1, Ralph, and if Baltimore wins this, you know, listen, these two clubs are going to be fighting for one of those last playoff spots, and this is almost like a playoff game here in week 6.
Yeah, the stud here is Anquan Boldin. If you bought low on the former Cardinal, congrats. Boldin had a tough early schedule, and he's also been a near miss on several scoring opportunities in the early games. Look, he's still the go-to guy for Joe Flacco, and Houston's secondary showed its warts last week versus Oakland. You know, the fact that Torrey Smith has established himself as a deep threat also helps Anquan Boldin. The dud here, we've spoken about him before, and that's Matt Schaub. You know, a banged-up Matt Schaub has already missed practice time this week with an assortment of ailments, now faces a stingy Baltimore defense that has held both Sam Bradford and Mark Sanchez under 170 yards. Ray Lewis and company also lead the league in forced fumbles. Keep an eye on that. It's a tough spot for Mr. Schaub. Another dud here is Jacoby Jones, everybody's darling last week as the waiver wire pickup of the century. The good news last week was that Jacoby Jones saw 11 targets. The bad news is last week he only had 1 catch on those 11 targets for 9 yards. Coach Gary Kubiak called him out earlier this week. He demanded that J.J. make more plays, and Jacoby Jones,
He's neither a great route runner, nor is he very consistent. He's just an unreliable guy. And the sleeper here is the other wide receiver, Kevin Walter. You know, we always keep waiting for Jones to be a rising star when Walter is just flat out more productive. You know, there's nothing special about him, but he's big and he carries out his assignments. He gained 81 yards on 5 catches with 1 score last week. I think he's usable as a flex guy in the bye week, but I do like the Ravens here. I'll give Baltimore the win, 26-17.
Yeah, I think Baltimore wins this game. Like I said, Vegas pretty much doubled the point spread on this game. So Vegas looks like they're projecting a Baltimore blowout.
Well, I think, Rick, I think that happened when they found out how severe the Mario Williams injury was.
You could be right. You could be right.
That's a killer, man.
One thing is for sure, I think Houston is in for a long day.
Tennessee, baby.
And, hey, we shall see. We are in week number 6, holiday. Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini going around the league of mystery and intrigue. And this one is going to be a thriller in Tampa Bay as the Bucs 3-2 host the New Orleans Saints, who are 4-1. Rostradamus.
Yeah, you got Drew Brees. You got superstar Jimmy Graham every week. And to me, Darren Sproles is becoming an every week guy. He actually led the team with 11 carries last week, and they weren't all runs outside. You know, he also had 40 yards receiving. Tampa's run defense has been as unimpressive as the rest of the team. So I think you can expect over 100 total yards from Mr. Sproles this week. I like the matchup. And to me, the duds, you know, Josh Freeman and Mike Williams. You know, Freeman has been poor all season. He was especially bad last week. He's got 6 interceptions, only 3 touchdowns, and he had 6 picks all of last season. It's tough to figure out what's going on, but last week in that 49er debacle, he was flat out terrible. And as for Williams, I've seen him drop more passes in a couple of weeks than he did all season last year. Right now, he's outside the top 50 in fantasy football wide receiver scoring. I know he's got potential. I know he'll probably get the ship righted. But until he does, I think you got to go with someone else until he shows you something. The sleeper here, not much of a sleeper, but big waiver wire pickup this week, probably number 2 on the list after Tim Tebow, and that's Ernest Graham. Team's got a lot of confidence in him with LeGarrette Blount out. He's going to be out a couple of weeks. You know he's going to get a lot of touches, and he's also going to get a lot of receptions in this game, I think. He's in for every play of this game. He's going to be even more effective as a receiver because New Orleans isn't going to have that alarm that other teams have had when it's a third down passing situation. He comes in, you know the ball's probably going to him. That's not going to be the case this week. Graham's going to be able to be used in disguise this week. I kind of like him as a play this week. You know, he's as likely to find the end zone and catch a pass as anyone on Tampa Bay. I don't think this game's going to be close, fellas. I don't think Tampa Bay has the offensive know-how or talent to stick with New Orleans here. I have the Saints winning 35-17.
Interesting. Ralph, you have a prediction on New Orleans at Tampa Bay game?
I think it'll be a little bit closer than that, but I don't see Tampa Bay winning, but I think it'll be closer. You know, I could see a score like, you know, New Orleans 28 and Tampa Bay 17, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is going to be a close game. I mean, Tampa Bay, if I remember correctly, early in the season they played the Falcons and pretty much manhandled them. So I think they distinguished themselves as a better team than the Atlanta Falcons, which, you know, is a pretty good football club. So we are Nick Barnett. Is playing for the Buffalo Bills. They will not have Sean Merriman, but they will have Nick Barnett.
Hmm. Watch out for Arthur Motes in that game.
Oh, I like that, James Madison. Okay, let's see. We got one more 4 o'clock game, Rev, and that's the Dallas Cowgirls against the New England Patriots. 2-2 Cowboys and the 4-1 Patriots.
Yep, lots of points, lots of yards in this one. Start Dez Bryant, obviously. I mean, the guy's been injury-prone, and he's had a week to rest up. And he'll also have his buddy Miles Austin back, which should only help Dez Bryant. The Pats have one of the worst secondaries in the NFL. In fact, from a fantasy football perspective, New England has given up more fantasy points to wide receivers than any other team on a per-game basis. I would also start all of my wide receivers and tight ends, not named Chad Ochocinco in this one. The dud here, you know, I don't think there are a lot of duds in this game, but I'm not crazy about Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, but he is New England's closer, and I think he could be decent in a bye week. But I wouldn't start either Stephen Ridley or Danny Woodhead in this one. Dallas has one of the best run defenses around from a fantasy perspective. It's allowing the third fewest fantasy points to running backs. And really, there's no telling how many touches the two secondary backs are going to get, so it's too risky to go either with Ridley or Woodhead. The sleeper here is Deion Branch. He is the number four receiving option in the Pants offense, behind Welker and the tight ends. But Brady will need him in this one, in what should be a high scoring, probably the highest scoring game of the week, in my opinion. But I will go with New England. I'll go with the Pats 37, Dallas 30.
I think New England's going to win this game 41-10. I think John Kitna will finish this ball game, and I think stay very, very far away, like Jessica Simpson, from Tony Romo. All right, we got two more games, guys. I think what we're going to do, we're going to wrap up the game previews because there's so many questions in the chat room. I want to bring on the Fantasy Taz to help answer some of your questions to wrap up the show last 15 minutes or so. So what we're going to do, we're going to break down Sunday night and Monday night football. We'll bring on the Tasmanian Devil, and then we'll take your questions for the rest of the way. Ross, Minnesota, they got a big win over Arizona last week. They travel into Chicago 2-3, and they I don't know what's going on with that offense over there in Chicago, but Jay Cutler is just getting killed.
Yeah, what they need to do is have Mike Martz play one series at quarterback, and then he'll realize how much he's doing to murder his own quarterback. Look, to me, Adrian Peterson, number one running back of the week, he has to love the ineptitude he saw from that Chicago defense run-wise against Detroit on Monday night. It's a short week for a battered Chicago defense. Look, you can't say enough about Adrian Peterson this week. And look, you got to go with Matt Forte. He is the Chicago offense right now. I know Minnesota's tough against the run, but that's okay because Forte can get it done as a receiver out of the backfield. The bottom line is Forte is a top 10 back on a weekly basis. It doesn't matter who they're playing. He'll get it done through the air or the ground. What a phenomenal season he's had so far. The dud to me, I've been waiting all day for this, Percy Harvin. Look, the guy is just not getting touches. The passing offense is awful, thanks Donovan McNabb, and he's banged up. You know, that's three strikes and you're out. Plus, he's got a little bit of a rib nick up. He's sitting there missing practices all week, and they x-ray them, and there's no break, there's no fracture, there's no nothing. He's got one touchdown this season, and it came in the opening week on a kickoff return. He had two touches last week. Embarrassing. Get him out of the lineup. Just because he has talent doesn't mean he's going to produce. The sleeper here, the sneaky Minnesota D. I love it. The short week for Chicago. The offensive line is battered for the Bears. Cutler is battered. The Vikes are second in the league with 16 sacks. You know that they were drooling after watching Cutler run literally for his life against the Lions. I think, fellas, I think the Bears are about to completely fall apart. I think Minnesota does them here. Vikings 27, Bears 17. Holler at me.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Vikings take this game. If you look before the Vikings blew out Arizona, I mean, the four games they lost, I mean, they had, like, big leads in all those games, and then they finally, at home last week, just put it all together, murdered the Cardinals. I think the Vikings are going to go on a two-game winning streak, go into Chicago, and have everybody's fannies doing a little Bernie, because they're going to be on the hot seat. Are you listening to me, Lovie Smith? Are you listening to me, Mike Martz? Okay? All right, I told you. All right, one more game. I'm going to close it out, and I know the Reverend's Furniture is looking forward to this one. That's when the Dolphins, regardless that they're 0-4, always give the Jets some troubles. Coming into the Meadowlands, where the Jets are 2-3, and the new Meadowlands stadium crew is going to have some extra painters on hand because they got to flip it and reverse it. Giants at home today, Jets at home tomorrow. It's going to be a Meadowlands bonanza on Monday night, Rev. Give me something good here.
Yeah, I'll tell you that the Jets' defense is the stud of the game here. Look, this defense hasn't been as strong as it has been in recent times, but this unit goes up versus a career backup in Matt Moore at quarterback, who makes his first start of the year. Moore does have some skills, but he's not very accurate, which should translate into a couple of turnovers or more. Last year, Matt Moore had 5 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. That just tells you what type of quarterback he is. Santonio Holmes is also a stud here. I think this is a great matchup for Holmes, given the fact that Miami has been very vulnerable to the deep ball. The question is, will the Jets allow Sanchez to air it out in this spot? We shall see, but I do think Santonio Holmes should be good for a touchdown here. The dud is Daniel Thomas. Whether he plays or doesn't play, we don't know that yet, but if he does play, I wouldn't start him. The Jets' defense may not be as strong as it has been, but you know what? Last week, the Jets basically conceded yards to Ben-Jarvis Green-Ellis by often playing with 7 defensive backs. Look for Gangrene to stack the box against Matt Moore, who isn't Tom Brady, and he isn't even Chad Henning. The sleeper here is Devon Bess. You know, Moore is going to be under heavy pressure, and he's going to look to throw some short, safe passes and probably look to Bess as the security blanket. You know, Brandon Marshall and Hartline, they're going to be locked up with Revis and Cromartie on the outside, which leaves Bess room to work the middle of the field. I do like the Jets in this one. I'll go with Gangrene. New York Jets 23, Miami 16. And I think I'm being a little generous by giving Miami 16 points, but I'll go with the Jets 23, Miami 16.
Hey, listen, like I said earlier in the show, if the Jets can't smack around the Dolphins, then they're in for a long season.
Red, did you just pick the Dolphins to win?
No.
Oh, okay.
I picked the Jets to win. 23-16.
He picked the
close
game. Yeah. All right.
I heard something wrong.
You know, the trade deadline is coming up, and trades rarely happen in the NFL. There are some names being thrown around, Brandon Lloyd to the Rams, Jared Allen to the Patriots. I doubt any of this will actually materialize. It usually doesn't. Carson Palmer is another name out there, you know, that Miami, I mean, their season's over. But
Reggie Wayne, Robert Mathis.
Hey. You know, we shall see, but it's time for the end of the show, and we're going to bring in the closer, who is none other than the Fantasy Taz, Jim Day, the Fantasy Football Advisor, 64 Fantasy Football Leagues. You can follow him on Twitter, at Fantasy Taz. He does the Twitter Fantasy Football Roundtable show on Saturday nights, which you should definitely check out the archive after this show, and we welcome him now. Jim Day, Fantasy Taz, how are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on. It's always fun to talk with you three.
Yes, always good to go around the room with a little round table chatter, because you know nobody do it better. And I'm going to start it off with you, Taz. We're going to go round table discussion, rapid fire style. We got some questions in the chat room for the last 15 minutes or of the show, and I skipped over this one before, so I apologize, but you got the red-hot Big Ben coming off a 5-touchdown performance, or Ryan Fitzpatrick going up against the Giants this week, Taz. I know you were all over the Big Ben call last week. Is it going to be 2 weeks in a row?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Ben again. You know, he remembered that he has Hines Ward there, who's a pretty darn good receiver. I think that trend continues. So I like Big Ben a little bit more than Fitzpatrick this week.
Anybody disagree?
Nope. I don't disagree.
All right. All the way around, unanimous Big Ben. Percy Harvin or Nate Burleson this week? I know you're a Harvin hater, Ross, so let me ask of the Reverend here. Harvin or Burleson?
You know, I mean, you could trash Harvin all you want, but what's Nate Burleson done? I mean,
I'm not talking him up. I take Harvin
all right.
Over Burleson.
That's what I'm saying, you know. So, look. You know, the thing that I'm looking at with this matchup against the Chicago Bears is they're starting 2 safeties that have never started before. One guy is a rookie, and one guy is a second-year guy. So I think there are going to be opportunities there for Harvin to do something this week. I'll take him over Burleson.
Okay, and I would agree. Fred Davis or Brandon Pettigrew this week at the tight end position, Ross?
Ooh, I like that one. Well, look, the Eagles have been just awful against guys from the tight end position who can do anything. And Fred Davis is certainly one of those guys. But, you know, Pettigrew caught a touchdown last week. Give me Pettigrew this week by a little bit. I think the Detroit offense does a little better than people think at home.
I don't know. I like Fred Davis myself. Anybody else care to chime in?
I can't go against Pettigrew. I mean, as much as I like Davis this week, I can't sit Pettigrew.
Well, plus you also have the fact that Cooley may still play this week. There's still a chance he could still play this week, and that alone scares me enough to go with Pettigrew, especially
with
no Scheffler.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. I mean, you know, listen, Fred Davis still does his thing when Cooley's in there, but, you know, you guys might have changed my mind on that one, and maybe Pettigrew is the smarter play. He's one of those players I just never loved. I know he has big weeks every now and then. Taz, Anquan Boldin or Jeremy Maclin this week? You know, Houston secondary, they brought in a lot of reinforcements during the offseason. And, you know, Baltimore is primed for a big game, but I don't know. Are you ready to start Boldin over Maclin?
Not even close. Don't like Boldin this week at all going against Jonathan Joseph. He's had problems against him in the past. I think that continues this week.
I'm with Taz. I like Maclin a lot this week.
I'm sold.
I like Maclin just because I think they're going to be putting up the ball a lot this week with Michael Vick, you know, just putting up the ball over 40 times. I'll go with Maclin.
Okay, valid points all the way around. Rev, you're on the clock. MJD, Steven Jackson, Ryan Terrain. MJD all day, no?
Steven Jackson, Ryan Terrain. Well, I like Terrain this week, but I can't go against MJD. And, you know, that Steelers defense isn't what it was even a year ago, so I'll go with MJD.
All right, Taz needs two. Owen Daniels, Darius Heyward-Bey, Greg Little, and Jordy Nelson needs two. Owen Daniels, DHB, Greg Little, and Jordy Nelson.
I'm going to go with the red-hot DHB, and I'm going to go with Owen Daniels just because they're going to need him in this game a lot over the other
Really?
Team. Yes.
Wow. Yeah, I would actually go the other way. I would actually go Little and Jordy Nelson myself.
Jordy's coming
get some
off
other
a week
opinions.
Where he didn't do anything last week.
Yeah. Wow.
DHB,
Ross,
the one knock against DHB was that he couldn't catch. Well, you know what? Someone taught him to catch. If you
and
want
he had 12 targets
to
last week, too.
Yeah, and but Joe Hayden's out this week.
The only thing I would argue with is I'm not crazy about Owen Daniels. I would take Jordy Nelson over Daniels, but I do like the DHB pick.
I wouldn't. I'm with Taz. Daniels and Darius Heyward-Bey for me.
And really, it comes down between Daniels and Nelson. Nelson, I think, has more upside, but Daniels, I think, is going to get more chances than Nelson will because Green Bay can spread it around.
Yep. Isn't Joel Dreesen in the mix over there?
Sure,
yeah,
he'll get 4 or 5 targets in the game, but Daniels will probably get anywhere between 12 and 15.
All right. Quarterback questions
here, man.
For the Joker, Jamarcus Russell in the chat room wants to know this week, Ryan Fitzpatrick or Joe Flacco, Ross?
Well, if it's Jamarcus Russell, I think he'd have to go with Flacco because he wears purple. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's close here, but I think I'll take Flacco just by a little bit. Just by a little bit. I think they're each going to do, you know, 240 and 2 touchdowns.
I think it's a close one. Anybody else care to weigh in?
I'll take Fitzpatrick just because I think that Baltimore is going to be able to run the ball. Ray Rice has another big day. I think they're going to need Fitzpatrick to throw the ball a little bit more in that game versus the Giants.
I have Fitz at 11 and Flacco at 12 tells you all, I think.
Yep. Yeah, it is close. It's very, very close. Another QB dilemma, Ralph, needs to start one of these guys, Josh Freeman, Jay Cutler, Alex Smith or Andy Dalton?
Yeesh. Oh, boy. You know something? I think this might be the week to actually go with Andy Dalton. Just because
I never thought I would say this in my life, but I agree with you. Go ahead.
Yeah,
there we go.
Just because he has the best matchup. You know,
I mean,
Indianapolis Colts can't stop the pass. They can't stop the run. I think that the Bengals put up big points in this game. I'll go with Andy Dalton.
I can't disagree, and
I never thought ever in my life I would tell you to start Andy Dalton ever. This, you know, but I can't disagree. I love the matchup. I think A.J. Green is good for two touchdowns. Like the Reverend said, that guy just makes plays. Taz, this one's for you. Since you are very high on DHB, I saw a big text in the chat room said he's available on the waiver wire. I think maybe you should pull the trigger and pick him up. But, you know, we need one of these wide receivers, Reggie Wayne, Jordy Nelson, and Darius Heyward-Bey. Are you going to start DHB over those two?
Yes, absolutely.
Yep.
Without a doubt.
All right. I haven't seen Darius Heyward-Bey. He was on my freaking milk carton for the past 3 years, and now all of a sudden he's some kind of fantasy.
He's been getting a lot of targets. Had 12 targets last week.
No, there's a difference, guys.
What did he do the past 3 years before that, though?
Wait, hold on. Listen for a second. There is a difference here. When he came into the league, the boy just had no clue how to catch the ball. He didn't. The ball bounced off his body, bounced off his pads. I saw it bounce off his helmet. He just didn't have a clue. Someone taught him. He's got a clue now. He goes out and grabs that ball with his hands every time. Go watch him. He's becoming a wide receiver.
It's a simple matter, you know, like when Tiki Barber was fumbling the ball and somebody whispered in his ear for a couple of minutes and all of a sudden he wasn't fumbling. Sometimes the light switch just goes on.
And the kid looks pretty physical to me, too, on that touchdown. You know, he broke a tackle. I mean, he's looking pretty good. I mean, it's just a case of a young player just coming into his own. That's all it is.
And we know he's fast.
All right. I mean, maybe he got a visit from Biletnikoff and he hooked him up with some stickum or something.
Oh,
I don't know.
From Biletnikoff. Hey. Yeah, you got some stickum all over his arms.
All right. Moving right along. Rev, I got Jermichael Finley or Gronkowski for you this week.
I'll go with Gronkowski this week just because, look, I don't see how the Dallas Cowboys stop him. I mean, that Dallas Cowboys secondary is pretty bad. I don't care who's coming back from injury. I'll go with Gronkowski in this one.
Well, let me stick with you right there then. Gronkowski or Tony Gonzalez?
Gronkowski.
Okay. I like what Gronko's doing, and if, you know, the Reverend is picking Gronko over Jermichael Finley, then you know it's true because, you know, the Rev has a man crush on Jermichael Finley. Defense. Ross, Cincinnati defense going against the Indianapolis Colts or the Jets matching up against the Dolphins?
I think, you know, if you're asking me the Jets or anyone this week, I think the answer is the Jets. I have them ranked number one this week against that weak Miami offense.
All right. Taz, we're keeping it in the chat room. Flex position, deep league, Meacham, Spiller, or Ryan Grant?
Eesh.
Ooh. That's an ugly one. Yeah. You know what? I think I would just pull the trigger on Meacham and just hope for that big play for a touchdown. I don't like any one of them.
Yeah, I mean, the time has come to officially cut C.J. Spiller. I parted ways with him this week. I picked him up in the final round hoping that maybe, you know, he could do something. But Freddie Jackson is just taking the ball and run with it, literally. Another tight end question, PPR. Greg Olsen playing some good football or Aaron Hernandez, Ross?
Closer than you'd think. Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Aaron Hernandez based off what I saw last week. He was targeted all over the place, and he's only going to be healthier. So I'm going to go with Aaron Hernandez. I love him in that offense.
This is a close one. Taz, you care to weigh in here, Olsen or Hernandez?
You know, I'm going to go Olsen. I like Hernandez, but Gronkowski is healthy now. He's not sick like he was last week. I think he takes a bigger part here. Olsen is a huge, integral part of this offense for Carolina, and they're going to need him against Atlanta.
Yeah, we got one for Olsen, one for Hernandez, Rev. Which way are you leaning, PPR league?
Yeah, that's tough. I think I might just go with Hernandez just because in that ball game, with the ball flying in the air, I think that Hernandez is going to get a lot of opportunities this week.
Hey, Rick. Let me jump in here. I got a question for the panel here. Quarterback, Rex Grossman, Matt Schaub, or Mark Sanchez?
Wow.
That's an easy one for me. I don't even have to think about it. I go Mark Sanchez all day against this Miami defense. He's crushed them in the
go.
They're not getting it done.
Yeah.
I think it's between Grossman and Sanchez.
I'd go Grossman. I just can't go with Sanchez. To me, he just can't get the job done. And Bonte Revis and Sean Smith back there. I'm going to go with Sexy Rexy because I think Washington's going to win the ball game. I don't know. But, you know, you could go Sanchez. I can't hurt you. It can't hurt you.
You know, Sanchez has thrown two touchdowns in 4 out of 5 games so far.
Yep. And what are you doing today, though? That's the question.
Well, I'm saying today against Miami, he's going to crush him. 300
hey,
yards
today,
and two
tomorrow.
Touchdowns, I guarantee you.
Oh, guaranteed. Just like Rex Ryan.
Put it in the books, baby. The Taz said it. 300 yards for the franchise. Last question for the boys. Starks best or Macklin? I'm going to tell you Macklin. And unfortunately, we're running out of time here. I want to thank everybody. The 2 hours commercial-free just flies by. Fantasy Football Insiders each and every Sunday, 8 to 10. For Fantasy Taz, Jim Day, Ross Adamus, Ross Mandel, the good Reverend Ralph Mancini, and Rick Saratella, we will see you next week. And that just about does it. Don't forget, I'll be at Miami Mike's over there in Route 10, East Hanover, New Jersey today with the Jersey Girls. If you want to stop by, Miami Mike's, Route 10, East Hanover, best sports bar in the tri-state area. I'll be there. RIC in the place to be with the Jersey Girls, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Y'all ready for this? I like to move it, move it. 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 Give it up, go.
Welcome to the big show.
Jamming.